three beliefs that hold people back from really getting what they want and what they want to accomplish in this life. That's what we're going to be talking about on today's Speaking Get What You Want podcast with Francis Jones. Francis, how are you?
I am fantastic and super excited because I am waiting with bated breath. You know, for those of you who don't know, Chad and I will talk a little bit before the podcast, and he said, I'm not going to tell you these things. I want you to hear them for the first time. So I'm just as excited as everyone else to hear these things, Chad.
Well, and Francis, you know, you and I, we've talked with members of the Academy, people who have gone through our courses. We've talked and have heard these things, these types of excuses, these types of frustrations before. But I'm going to share with you what I believe to be the top three. And you know what? I haven't given them to you yet. So I want you to put them in order where you think this each one of those fit. Okay. And we'll start with this one. This limiting belief that really stops people from going after their hopes, their dreams, and so forth. And that is this: other people have already figured it out. Where would you put that on one, two, or three? The belief that, you know what? Others have already got this figured out. I'm behind already. I'm already in a position where I can't get there. It's that limiting belief of other people already have it figured out. Where would you put that?
So it's the blind ranking, right? So I reserve the right to change it later. I'm going to put it at three because that's not something that I tend to struggle with. But I think I get it. I get that idea. Although my take on it would be just a little bit different is other people have figured it out. And so for me, it's not about, so because I don't have time or whatever, it's that smarter people than me. Mm. It's about smarter people than me have figured it out or worked on it. And the flip side of that, smarter people have tried and failed. So how am I going to figure it out? Right. And so that one to me is, it is limiting. It is a limiting thing because you've already killed it before you even started it.
Right.
You didn't try. Like you didn't try. And that's one thing if you say, well, you know, I'm going to be the first person to run the 4-minute mile. I want to be clear. I can't run a 4-minute mile and B, I wouldn't be the first person. But, you know, when they were searching for that, only one person can be the first person, right? So it's one thing to say, well, I can't be the first person because it's already been done. That's one thing. But to say I can't run a 4-minute mile or, well, I can't jump this high or I can't reduce waste in my company because they've already tried and they've got it down as low as it'll go. Well, that is very limiting and it is constraining and you're really capping and closing off any possibility. Is it possible you could try that and it won't work and you will end up being right? Yeah. So, you know, we talked about in our course, Einstein? I didn't fail 10,000 times. Mm-hmm. I figured out 9,999 ways not to make a light bulb, right? Like there's a lot to be said for that. So I don't love the idea of saying, well, someone else tried and failed or someone else has done it, so I'm just going to move on.
Right, right. We don't love that idea because it's a limiting belief, right, Francis? But
right.
But I'm going to put it a little bit higher. I'll put it at number two. And the reason why I put it at number two is because you and I have a background in the financial services industry. We've been in sales before. And a lot of the times we talk our way or talk ourselves out of doing something, of stretching ourselves, because we think to ourselves, somebody smarter has probably already gone down that path. Somebody smarter has already probably approached this person.
Oh yeah. Well, if someone else would have figured it out by now, if it was possible, someone else would have done it.
Right. Right. And so we limit our beliefs and what we can do by just thinking to ourselves, oh, somebody else has already done it. And Francis, to summarize that, I'd put just that limiting belief of, you know, thinking others have already figured it out is really discounting yourself and the value you bring to the table, right?
Yeah.
One of the most successful people I know that wrote the book with me, T.K. Stratton, the very first time when he was starting his very first restoration business, he walked in to an insurance company or an organization and said, hey, I'd love to do your restoration work. And they said, oh, are you using this kind of software? How do you keep track of what you do? And TK said, oh, I do it on an Excel spreadsheet. And there were people in the background, he said, at the organization that start giggling. They start laughing. Like, who is this guy? He keeps it on an Excel spreadsheet. He doesn't even do it. You know, He doesn't even do it in the software that we're familiar with, or one of the programs we're familiar with. And he felt dumb, no question, but then he got back up and he kept moving forward, right?
Yeah.
And in a company you and I worked at years ago, you know, the co-founders shared with us that when they went through one of their pitches, one of the things they were trying to get people to buy into this software, afterwards they got up in an old beat up truck and the truck didn't even start, right? And so they were talking through that experience where you can easily discount yourself thinking that others are smarter, but really get rid of that limiting belief.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, here's the next one, Francis. What about this? If I do this and fail, that says something about me.
Without seeing the others, I think I'd put that at number one, because that is something that I've struggled with. And I guess that's anytime you rank something, it's always going to be based on your own experience, right? What do I struggle with? What do I not struggle with? But I think that's for a long time in my life, you know, that is like, if I do that and fail, I'll look dumb, or people will think less of me, or whatever the case may be. And that is something that I have struggled with more times in my life. Not as much now, but still it does happen occasionally, right? And that is extremely limiting, right? That when you say, listen, I don't want to look foolish. Why not? Like, why not? Like, it's okay to look foolish. Like, and furthermore, what does foolish even mean, right? I mean, I say I might look foolish, but you know, I don't know about you, but when you have a company coming over, and maybe your family's different, when you have family, that people that's going to come to your house, people you love who would never say anything ever about you, do you find yourself being asked to clean like the floorboards and underneath things, like, right? Like, as if for some reason they're going to walk in and say, your house is nice, but those floorboards, I can't believe it. You would let anyone walk in the house with those floorboards. Like, they would never say it. They would never think it. So we are our own worst enemies. That we think, well, if I don't do this, or if I do this and look and fail, people are going to think X. Probably they're not. Mm. They're not going to think that. And even if they did, that's not the kind of person that you want to be around anyway. The person that's going to look at my baseboards and say, how could you?
Right.
I don't want to be friends with that person.
Right.
Right. So who cares what they think? Right. So I think that is, something that is really hard to get over, because we care, especially in today's day and age with social media and likes, and well, how many likes did it get, and how many people commented, and you know, like I don't get too caught up in that, except for on my birthday, right, on Facebook. Well, how many people commented on my birthday? Well, this year was only 25 or only 32 or whatever, right? In today's day and age, we care about that stuff way more than when we were kids, because there was no vehicle for it. Now there's a vehicle for it. Our foibles go online or they go somewhere else. And so we feel like we really have to measure that out. But how can you be critical of someone that's going gung-ho for something they want and believe in and think is going to work, only for it to fail, and think, oh, well, that guy's an idiot.
Right. Right. And it goes back to that phrase we've talked about before on this podcast, fearful of what other people think. Right.
Right.
And fear, as we've defined, false expectations appearing real. Right.
Right.
And they're just, we have all these fears that really stop us from putting ourselves out there. I agree with you, Francis. I would put this at number one. This is the number one most limiting belief that so many people have, is their fear of what other people are going to think about them. The fear of what others are going to say about them. You know, I was with the Paris twins, who we've had on this podcast, the Paris twins, and they're like, hey, can we interview you real quick? We were standing in this office building, and I said, oh, do you want to wait for these people to walk by? And they looked at me and they said, we, like you, don't care what other people think. Let's just go. Right? They're just like, we don't care.
You're like, well, yeah, of course. That's what I meant.
Yeah, like, what? I don't care what that person, that random person over there. And I've told you before, when I was with Cassie and I was like, Cassie, I want to do a quick video right here. She's like, yeah, but there's all these people around here. No, Cassie, do you know any of them? No. Do you think you'll see any of them again anytime soon? No. Then why do we care?
Yeah. And I understand there are obviously limits to that extreme. Right. Like if you're doing something that's foolish or sure. whatever, but even that, I'd be really careful. I would err on the side of not being cautious. Like if it's something that's important and you think it's and legal, but I mean, if it's something that's important, right. And you want to try it, then do it. Like literally what's the worst thing that can happen? It doesn't work. That happens to me all the time. I sing some and I was asked to sing a solo and I don't like doing solos, man. I feel really comfortable singing with someone, but like, I don't want to miss a note. And if I miss a note, then people are going to hear it and then they're going to think whatever. And I remember my dad once, he said to me, he was like, I'm not sure why you care because it doesn't matter. You could go up there and just burp through the whole song. And afterwards, everyone's going to tell you how great it was. They're all going to tell you how great it was. So what do you care? Like you're like, never, like they're all just going to say it was great. If I give a speech or a talk or a training or a lesson or I sing, everyone's going to see how great it was anyway. So what do you care? Like, what does it matter? No one's going to come up and say, well, that was awful. Like, and even if they do, who cares?
Right. And in France,
it was probably awful. Think of, right.
This episode is brought to you by 10 Days to Create Clarity, a breakthrough course inside the Speak and Get What You Want Academy. If you've ever craved more meaning, more momentum, but not knowing where to start, well, you're not alone. The problem isn't motivation, it's clarity. These 10 days give you exactly that. Simple direction, real confidence, and clear next steps. You know exactly what you want, make decisions without second guessing, go from drifting to taking action, and align your life with what actually matters. And you'll feel a real shift fast. If you're tired of scrolling, stuck, or waiting for life to make sense, stop waiting. Join the Speak and Get What You Want Academy and start the 10 Days to Create Clarity course today. Go to speakandgetwhatyouwant.com. Well, think about this, Francis. The people that you know that have no fear, right? And TK always asks the questions, what would you do today if you had no fear, right? How would you act? How would you conduct yourself? What things would you do if you had zero fear? And you think about that, you would do incredible things. If everyone listening would say to themselves, what would I do today if I had no fear? Who would I call? What connection would I try and make? What would you do if you had no fear? Francis, you would be stunned. Everyone would be stunned at what they could accomplish.
Right.
And
yeah.
And so ironically, Francis, is when people operate with no fear, when people stand up in front of a group, when people walk boldly, everyone around them secretly admires them.
Right.
People will say to themselves, oh my goodness, I wish I had that kind of confidence.
Right. Even if they failed.
Right? Like
even if they failed.
Even if you go to a wedding, my son just recently got engaged and my wife, she loves to dance. Cassie loves to dance, right? And when she's out there dancing and just having this great time, the people that aren't dancing are looking at her going, I wish I had that confidence. I wish I could do that. But we get so caught up, so worried about what others are going to think about ourselves that we don't even, you know, we don't even jump in.
Yeah. Or we're the person saying, I can't believe she would do that. She looks foolish or she looks so strange or doesn't she realize what a fool she's making of herself? People that say that are the people who are very limited. They limit. They don't try anything new. They don't try anything big. They don't like the reality is you cannot accomplish something big unless it's uncomfortable. You just can't. You can't, nothing great has happened without discomfort. It just doesn't happen. And so you talk about limiting. That's why, you know, we put it number one is that you are absolutely capping what you can do. Because if you're saying, I'm only going to do something that I know I can't fail at, I'm only going to do something that I know will be successful. Well, then you get it. You get what you get and you're never going to go beyond it. You can't. It's not possible.
Well, that's a powerful phrase you just used right there, Francis, that I think a lot of us have thought that. And that is, I'm only going to try this if I know I can be successful.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We all think that. Everyone listening right now has been guilty of thinking that. And they don't want to push themselves that much further. I mean, I remember as a parent, Francis, sometimes you're so worried about your kids experiencing failure.
Right.
I remember my son, Tyler, who he came to me. We'd recently had moved to Arizona. He'd always played baseball and football and other things. He'd never played volleyball, but he got into volleyball. And after a very short time in volleyball, he's like, I'm gonna go try out for the high school team. And high school boys volleyball is very competitive in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, oh no, Tyler, don't you want to try? And I tried to, you know, soften the blow. Anyway, he's like, no, I'm going for this. And he did and was phenomenal and really had a great high school career in volleyball. But the point is, I was like, ooh, what if you fail? And I had those limiting beliefs for my son. I don't have them as much for myself, but sometimes for my children. That's a whole nother subject for another day, Francis. But it's just, it's so important to get rid of those limiting beliefs, specifically what are others going to think of me?
Yep.
Well, and here, Francis, here's the last one. And you know what? This one that I'm gonna share with you, I think, and I know I've already said one and two and you've said one and three, but this could perhaps be the number one thing that's really limiting anyone from achieving any level of success. And that is this: I need to be more prepared before I start.
Ooh. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. I do think I personally would have that one in front of the one I have in three. So I don't think I would change my order because this one's deceptive, man, because there is value in being prepared. Mm. But I think what happens is that we create this insulation or the built-in excuse of, well, I need to be more prepared.
Right.
I need to be more prepared.
Right.
So we take this sliver of truth of being prepared for something, a job interview, a tryout, whatever. And at the last minute, when you get to the edge, you're like, oh, before you're going to jump, you're like, oh, I'm not as prepared as I need to be. I need to be more prepared. Because you do need to prepare.
Sure.
We're not suggesting from a limiting standpoint, the opposite of limiting is being unlimited, right? We're not saying like, listen, I, Francis, want to go play professional baseball, so I'm going to go try out tomorrow. Well, I'm not prepared for that. That's not what we're saying at all, right? That me not trying out, I'm not limiting myself, right? Like, preparedness is part of the process, but I think you can start to see the trends and you start to see a pattern of behavior. If you were to go in and look, like you said, without fear, if you didn't have fear, what would you do? And then if you were to examine why you didn't, if you see this pattern of, well, I want to be more prepared. I want to be more prepared. I want to be more prepared. Man, that is really limiting. It's really limiting.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And Francis, you and I have had this conversation where, you know what, I think of the first few videos we made. I mean, we're on podcast. This is, I think, 87. But you think about some of the first early videos in our careers that you and I have made. We go back now and we cringe, right? And we think to ourselves, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. But we were doing it. We were in the process of doing it. And so many people, and I think it's just massive amounts of people that think, oh no, I'm not an expert speaker. I'm not great. Well, Francis, if you went back, you're one of the best speakers in the world. If you went back to your early days of speaking, there were probably some pretty rough presentations you gave.
Sure.
But as you got more at-bats, as you continued to progress and get better and better, you became a phenomenal speaker.
Well, that's the hard part about anything you do in life, with very rare exception, and I can't think of what it might be, what those exceptions might be, but I'm loath to say never or always, right? I always, like, when I say to my kids, like, when you come to me and say, well, he never helps. Well, that's not true. Maybe he doesn't always help or he doesn't usually help, but always and never, right? Mm-hmm. I say never, right?
Right.
Well, okay, you did, right? But when we talk about this idea of, this never or this always, you have to be really, really careful that you don't talk yourself out of it, right? Public speaking. Most people don't like public speaking. They just don't. They don't know what it is, right? So again, there may be some exceptions to this, but there's only one way to get better at public speaking. One.
That's it.
What is it?
Do it.
Do it. You have to do it, which means you're going to be uncomfortable, awkward. It's not going to work very well. You're going to make some mistakes and you're going to get better, but you have to do it to overcome it, right? Now, there may be exceptions where something that you don't want to do, you do the first time and it works out perfectly and whatever. You know, when I was younger, I wished to teach at a culinary school. I taught business classes, but I would hang around with chefs and I learned a few things. And I wanted to make a filet mignon. Filet mignon is a thick steak. And so grilling a filet mignon, you have to be really careful because filets have got to be, but at that point you can't if you overcook it, you may as well just eat a different cut of steak, right? Filet is intended to be a medium or a medium rare. It's just a really tender cut of meat. And so I made it the first time and I thought I did. It was perfect. Oh, it was chef's kiss. It was so good. I was so thrilled because I knew how to make a filet mignon. So I invited a buddy over and we made filet mignon and it was the worst thing ever. It was so bad. I burned it. Like was too hot or whatever. Right. And so what I realized at that moment was the first time I wasn't good. I just got lucky. Right. I just got lucky. So if you can't repeat it, if it's not something you can repeat, then I would say mastery has probably not happened. Right.
Right.
You may be a savant. Like there may be savants out there. They can just pick up and do whatever, but right. But for most of us, in most instances, it requires us doing it over and over and over again. And there are some instances where you get one shot, you know, in preparedness, you know, like the space shuttle or whatever. Okay. But for most of us, we don't live in that world. If we fail this today, tomorrow we can pick up and try again.
Right.
And we try. We could also probably do another hour long talk on what is failure anyway. What does failure mean? Like there's levels of failure, and is it really a failure if you learn and you build for next? There's so many layers to that. So I would dispute my own word failure, but if we want to just take it on face value, even if you fail, doesn't matter. You try again,
right,
and you'll pick it up and learn. So I love that preparedness idea, mostly because the devil, like not literally, but you know, like we'll take something that's true and then we'll turn it into something that's not, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't do this because I'm not prepared. Well, are you not prepared, or are you just scared that you're not prepared enough or whatever? And so I love that. I love that.
Well, and the reality, Francis, is that when we are in the irony of it is when we are clear on what we want to accomplish, then we'll have the desire to continue to do that, right? So just in, you know, this very small example that you're giving with the steak, when you knew that I want to be able to cook a great filet, right? That you were clear in your purpose.
Yep.
But then you realized you have setbacks. You were good. You had setbacks. You struggled a little bit, but you were clear in what you wanted to accomplish. And so as we talk through, and as we have talking through these limiting beliefs, these three huge limiting beliefs of I need to be more prepared before I start. Other people already have it figured out. And if I do this and fail, what are people going to think of me? Those three limiting beliefs, if you get clear on where you're going, if you get clear on your destination, then that is a massive step to overcoming those limiting beliefs.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to what you talked about earlier, not the point of the podcast, but it's still like high up there about the idea of fear. What is fear, right? It is being afraid. And then all these other things are just reasons or excuses, right? That we don't do it, or we back away from it, that limits what we do. But I think it all begins with that idea of fear, like of the fear of failure. What does it mean if I don't do this? Or, you know, and it could be a legitimate fear. Like if I don't get this job, man, I don't know how I'm gonna pay my bills. Like that's a legitimate fear. That's not like unreasonable thing to be afraid of, but to not then go for a job. Well, I don't think I have the experience they're looking for, or there's no way I don't have the degree, or I don't have this. So what? Then what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
Just go for it.
Right.
How many people have you hired, Chad, that didn't fit within the neat little box that the job description said, but they ended up being a great for the position because they had other intangibles, or they knew more than they thought they did. Right. You say that to me all the time. Like, Francis, you do this better than you think you do.
Right. Right?
Stop with the self-doubt, right? So just try. What's the worst that can happen? Try. Apply for it. Build a presentation. Whatever it is.
Well, and ironically, Francis, it's fear that really keeps people away from gaining clarity of where they want to go, because they're fearful if they declare where they're going. Again, all three of those limiting beliefs contribute to that. So.
Oh, you said you were going to be a millionaire. You said you were going to be this. You said you were going to lose 50 pounds. And well, if I don't say it out loud, if I don't proclaim it, if I don't do it, then no one can hold me accountable to it. Yeah. Huge.
Francis, love being with you. Love what you shared. Those limiting beliefs, get rid of those by getting clear on where you're going. The 10 days to clarity really helps you get there and really, in essence, helps you overcome those limiting beliefs.
Absolutely.
Great being with you, Francis. Take care. Bye now.
Bye, everyone.